Hello, I'm Barry Bostwick. Now, you may remember me from my portrayal of the quintessential all-American Brad Majors in the cult classic Rocky Horror Picture Show. Or maybe you remember me as the hilarious Mayor Randall Winston from Spin City. Or from my Golden Globe-winning performance as Lieutenant Lady Astor in the 30-hour miniseries War and Remembrance. I'd like to tell you about a new movie I'm in. It's called The Selling. Now, sadly, I only read my scene, so I don't know much about it, but I do know that I'm in it. And that's why I'm offering a limited number of these signed photographs of me, Barry Bostwick, as Commander Ace Hunter in the classic 1982 masterpiece Megaforce, as an incentive for you to contribute to the filmmaker's Kickstarter campaign. Now, these are very special and very rare. I only have hundreds of them sitting in my garage. So please, would you support independent filmmakers? And remember, the good guys always win, even in the 80s. That's a line from Megaforce. Thank you.
That Chinese virus is going to kill us all. I've been seeing it everywhere.
Yeah.
It's been like a good 10 years, I feel like, since there was a new super virus that was going to kill us all. I've missed it. I've been wondering where they've all been.
The coronavirus.
Yeah, it's a pretty lame name for a virus. Just like, hey, named after a cheap, gross beer. It doesn't sound very scary.
Maria's constantly getting packages at our house from China.
Oh, that's probably not a good thing. Yeah. Don't lick any of those. I think you're not supposed to lick things. That's how you stop from contracting this. I've only read headlines. I'm not sure.
I don't know anything about it except it's coronavirus.
Yeah, well, I mean, it took out Kobe. It's already, it's
oof.
It's going
took
around,
out Paul
man.
Walker.
it's shot through the entire Fast and Furious cast.
Well, they all drink those Coronas.
They love them.
They're from family.
Turns out Paul Walker got the bad one. He got the infected one of the case.
Makes you crash your Porsche helicopter.
So, that helicopter crash.
Uh-huh.
Did anything come out about that yet? Why that helicopter crashed?
Well,
Is that a user error? Was it a Blue Thunder type situation where somebody loosened one bolt somewhere on the helicopter and then,
From what I understand, everybody else was like, yeah, it's too foggy to be flying helicopters through mountains.
Okay.
Like even
that makes a lot of sense.
Even the sheriff's department in the area was like, yeah, we're not flying our helicopter.
So, you know, maybe take the bus or something, man.
Well, you see, Nate, Kobe was 6'6".
Mm-hmm.
Lived a good hour outside of the city,
okay.
Los Angeles. And
like where the rich people live?
Right. And he didn't like spending all that time in a car because he was too big for it.
I don't know.
So a couple years back, he got into
watching that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood movie, and Brad Pitt's having a lot of fun just tear-ass driving around the hills of L.A.
Well, yeah, but he's not 6'6".
Get a big car. You're a fucking billionaire. You got enough money literally to own a helicopter.
He one-upped it. He's like, I'm just going to get a helicopter, yeah. And instead of being in a car for an hour.
Guess that's a baller move.
I'm just going to be in a helicopter for like 15 minutes.
Wonder how much it costs to like fly a helicopter to work. Helicopter fuel is pretty expensive from what I've learned watching old episodes of Magnum P.I.
Yeah, well, you know.
It's always one of TC's main concerns when Magnum needs him to fly somewhere. Is who's going to be paying for this chopper fuel, Magnum?
What's wrong?
I don't know. Oil pressure's dropping. I replaced some leaky seals earlier, but I don't know.
Well, you wouldn't go up if there was anything really wrong, right?
Well, Thomas, you got to test these things in the air sometime.
TC was doing this on purpose. There wasn't anything wrong with the chopper. He just wanted to get a rise out of me. Well, I wasn't going to bite.
So Dave would be our TC.
Does he got a chopper pilot?
Yeah, he's always he's looking just always for money. Talking just about the money. About money.
Just because he's a cheapskate doesn't mean he's a cool helicopter pilot.
That's true. That's very true. It's Baby Oil and Blow. We're not cheapskates. Our budget on this action extravaganza palooza
is just... All this equipment we got around here? It's crazy.
Nate and I haven't celebrated Christmas in years just because we don't got the monies to, because it all goes to you, the listener.
That's a true statement, actually.
We're just giving it all to you because we care.
I had to spend, like $4 to rent the movie we watched today because I couldn't just find a trash copy of it streaming anywhere.
Yeah, I know.
Really hit the pocketbook hard.
Yeah, it's hard. Can we deduct that on our taxes?
I think definitely this is something that should come off of taxes.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about taxes.
The government.
Again, that's a question for Dave, the accountant.
Giving us money for this show and just. Sending us notes.
It's a write-off, man. I'm just going to write it all off.
Do you even know what that means?
It's a write-off for them. How is it a write-off? They just write it off. Write it off what? Jerry, all these big companies, they write off everything. You don't even know what a write-off is.
Do you?
No, I don't.
But they do. And they're the ones writing it off.
We are your hosts. I am Matt O. With me as always, you can be the Shaquille O'Neal.
All right.
To my Kobe Bryant. You are Nate Adams.
I like Shaquille O'Neal. He's one of my favorite actors in the 90s.
Duh. You think I don't know how many times you've seen Shazam?
That's a fine film, man.
Yeah, everybody knows Shaq made all his money playing
there
college.
There was a brief period there in the 90s where they were making a lot of basketball movies that I watched and basketball just like loved, Jones. Even though I never had any interest in actual basketball.
Basketball
Blue
Jones.
Chips, The Air Up There. I was all about this cinema.
Nate's got a basketball.
White
Jones.
Men Can't Jump. Basketball Ooh. Cinema of the mid 90s.
What about Above the Rim?
One of my favorite genres, I think. I think that one just like had too much street cred for me.
Yeah.
I think I felt uncomfortable trying to watch that one.
I remember reading.
This isn't for me, is what I thought.
I remember reading Jeff Jarrett's review of it in WWF magazine.
Okay, yeah.
And he just said
that Jeff Jarrett, that really is who you're talking about.
He said there was a lot of that, you know, swearing gangster rap music in it.
Oh,
and
no,
he didn't care for it. And he thought the movie would have been better if it had some good old fashioned country western in it.
Not for Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
My gosh, that was awful. Hey boy, where'd you get that guitar at? Where'd you learn how to play? That was terrible. Vince Gill, old Sweet Pea, was in here a little while ago, and he couldn't make the Double J band, and I threw him out. Now, why don't you get out of here? I guess I'm going to have to do it myself. Yeah, I'm going to have to do it myself to get to the top in the country music business, but I'm going to do that. Don't you worry about that. And I'm going to get to the top in the WWF. Yeah, they may call it the WWF right now, but when I'm done with them, they're going to call it the Double JF. Ha, don't you forget that name. That's Double J. J-E. Double F, J A, double R, E double T. That's Double J now, Jeff Jarrett.
Did you get around to seeing that Bad Boys 3 yet?
Oh man, it's on my list. We're going to get there eventually.
Soon.
Knocking through so much.
Yeah.
Speaking of being roofied, you fucking got taken on a ride Friday night. I got taken on a ride yesterday.
Did you?
Fucking Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Yeah.
I'm sitting at the old Violet Hour there in the Wicker Park.
Okay.
And this eccentric, just bald guy with a big beard comes sitting next to me. And he's just my best friend instantly. And all the bartenders know him. He's ordering cocktails by the threes.
Whoa.
He's just like, give me three variations on a Vous Carrée. And then all the little monkeys are running around.
Wow.
He's chatting my ear off. He's making me taste all these fucking things he's doing. Telling me he's opening up this new bar in Avondale, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, this guy's fun. Seems a little crazy, an eccentric type.
Yeah.
Sat there with him for like 2 hours. He just kept ordering shit and making me taste it. Weird fucking agave spirits and shit.
Wow.
That tasted like licking a rock, but kind of in a good way.
Hell yeah.
I was absolutely trashed.
Yeah.
Just this weird guy who'd pop out like every 15 minutes to like smoke a cigarette and then come back and order like three more variations on a cocktail.
How long was he out there smoking?
Real quick. This
he's
guy's
powering
all
through.
Business.
He's probably smoking.
And then like
crack.
At the end, he's like, hey, can I buy you a drink? And I'm like, dude, you just bought me like 8 drinks. He's like, you're trying stuff with me. Let me buy. And I'm like, dude, you don't have to buy me anything else. And he's just like, it doesn't cost me anything. I own this whole place. And he just got up and left.
What?
He just sat there talking to me for 2 hours, did not tell me he owned this place. Just a complete eccentric weirdo. Came in like a whirlwind, got me completely wasted, and was like, by the way, you're sitting in my bar later.
Huh.
So then I like Google him. His name's Toby, and he's just like runs all sorts of bars in like Nashville and New York and shit.
Toby Huss?
He did not seem like the type of guy who was in ownership.
I'm the Wiz.
He seemed like the sort of guy you'd see smoking cigarettes outside of a bar all night long.
I was going to say, I wonder what Taffer thinks about that kind of responsibility.
I don't know. I feel like
giving all that product away.
This guy was like the anti-Taffer.
How many Jell-O shots did you give away last night?
About 10.
How many people did you pour liquor into their mouths last night?
Half the whole bar.
You didn't even have to sell a drink to make money last night, did you? Come here, shake your ass, give away his booze, and leave with your money.
Drinking up all his profits.
Yes, I don't know. We might have created an entire menu while I was sitting there. I don't really remember it.
He just harvested all your good ideas.
Yeah. And then, like, even though I didn't leave the city until hours later, I still just, like, drunk drove home.
Oh,
it,
no.
It had not wore off.
Oh, God.
I made terrible decisions. Woke up this morning and was like, what did I do yesterday?
Yeah.
How am I back here?
Man, usually, like, you have enough wherewithal to, like, sober up somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one that's always like, I'll get us home from the city.
Sure, yeah. There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
So far, so good. All we've done is lose a couple of side view mirrors or whatnot.
Well, that was a lost summer there. But, you know, life happens.
Mm-hmm. And indeed it does.
And sometimes you just got to mega forge your way through. Beat it.
Just beat it.
Just get in and talk about it.
I've got to go home.
Oh, come on, Carrie. We're going to a new place.
She wants to go home, right? Let's go.
Whoa. Are you okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You sure?
Relax.
What's a few beers?
If you don't stop your friend from drinking and driving, you're as good as dead. Drinking and driving can kill a friendship.
Let's mega forge our way through this review of a movie now that I'm finally feeling not so hungover. We got to get this done before it comes back on me.
When did you watch this last night or did you watch this over the weekend?
Yeah, I watched this over the weekend sometime. I've been sitting on it, thankfully.
Amazed it stayed with you.
I would not have remembered anything about it if I had watched it last night.
Oh.
Getting to the rundown here. The rundown this week has been brought to us by Cotton Dockers.
Oh.
The only thing more beige than this movie in the world. Mm. Cotton Dockers and Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
This rundown is of 1982's Megaforce.
Megaforce.
That's all one word. No spaces there. Megaforce.
What was the name of that Larry the Cable Guy movie he made a couple of years? Was it Delta Farce?
Delta Farce.
Yeah.
That was a good one, yeah.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with the Power Rangers Megaforce, which kept on coming up
comes
when I was
up
trying
everywhere.
To
right.
research this movie.
Yeah. Spoiler.
Okay.
We're going to end up covering one of those, Power Rangers
one of
Megaforce.
Us watched the Power Rangers
or,
movie.
Or Delta Farce.
The other one watched the one from 1982. This is going to be a weird conversation we have today.
You're going to love it.
Runtime, 99 minutes. A perfect 99 minutes. Not a wasted minute in this thing. Budget, $20 million. They bought a lot of cars. They tripped out a lot of motorcycles and dune buggies. They blew up a lot of stuff.
Yep.
But it was all worth it. And that gross came back.
Yeah?
$5.7 million.
Wait, what?
From what I understand, this
you mean
movie
55.7.
No, no. What I understand, this movie opened the same day as The Thing and fucking
Mad Max,
Blade 2? Runner. Like, it was just like
Jesus.
Yeah, Mad Max 2 was around the same time. Like there was a lot of competition, and turns out Megaforce didn't do so good.
Oh.
The director is Hal Needham of Smokey
It made it up on the back end
and the Bandit fame, and pretty much every other Burt Reynolds movie where he's driving cars around.
Cannonballs Run.
That's right. The stars here are Barry Bostwick as Ace Hunter, the leader of Megaforce.
You know
him. Coolest guy with the coolest name.
Yeah, you know him from being in all those cool movies.
He was Brad from Rocky Horror.
And he was.
He was in Spin City.
That's right. With?
Out of the cast of Spin City.
We just talked about him last week, Carlos Estevez.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He was the one that replaced Michael J. Fox when he couldn't sit still.
Oh, sure, sure. And then he was later replaced on a sitcom, doing a lot of musical chairs over there. Michael Beck is playing Dallas, who's an offensive stereotype of a Texan who's also a member of Megaforce.
Yep.
We just saw him in Battle Truck. He's fucking killing it this month. Just killing it.
Yeah.
Henry Silva's our bad guy, Guerrera. He's the leader of the
Duke
bad guys.
Guerrera.
he was from Ghost Dog.
Yeah, he is in that.
And he's Seagal and Above the Law. Another just big career here.
Duke got a lot of Guerrera.
A lot of big names here. Persis Kambata? I don't know. She's playing
Africa Bambatu.
Major Zara. She's the sexy brown chick who has to hire Megaforce to do her bidding.
She was the bald chick
bald
in Star
bitch
Trek.
Bitch from Star Trek.
Yeah.
She's got hair here.
Yeah.
She looks good with hair. I say
she
keep the hair.
Also Miss India and the Miss Universe.
Oh, wow. Good for her.
In like 1965.
Her. Edward Mulhare is in here playing General Byrne White, who's, I guess he's a general who can't defend his own country because he's got to hire Megaforce to do it. This story doesn't make much sense to me, Matt. He was the boss in Knight Rider, though.
Hell yeah.
That's the point. So tagline of Megaforce here. This is a big one. This is featured very prominently on all of the marketing material. Deeds, not words.
Yeah, which was supposed to be the name of the sequel.
Sure, once Megaforce did amazing at the box office and then the inevitable sequel gets made. That's some good deeds, not words. That screams big blockbuster action movie to me.
They were scheduled to start filming the movie like 2-3 months after it dropped.
Yeah, getting a little bit ahead of yourself there, Hal.
Ugh.
I think there's a lot of vintage merch you can find out there. They're like the crew war and shit that says deeds, not words all over.
Oh, okay, cool.
They really thought that like deeds, not words is going to be some sort of big like touchstone.
Do they even say it in the movie?
And I don't think they say it.
I didn't notice them
say it once in the whole fucking movie. Plot here. Megaforce is an elite multinational military unit that does the jobs that individual governments won't. When the peaceful Republic of Sardoon is under threat from their more aggressive neighbor, the beautiful Major Zara and General Byrne White seek the help of Ace Hunter and Megaforce. There's a lot of spelling errors in that plot synopsis I cut and pasted.
Yeah, well.
Almost tripped my tongue up a few times there, but that's the gist of it. That's what the Megaforce is about. Megaforce got to fight the bad guys, Matt.
I've got like a rundown on Barry Boswick's character, Ace Hunter.
Ace Hunter, yeah.
It's from an official interview that Barry Boswick gave while doing promotion for this movie.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh.
Should I give it now or should
Let's
we wait till we get to his
bullet
character?
Bullet points here right yeah? here and we can
we'll wait till his
going.
Character
we'll
comes
wait till
up?
His character okay. shows up and then we'll right. start pulling these things out.
It's interesting.
A thing that's been happening a lot to us lately, this movie, the first thing you notice is they got an opening crawl type thing.
Yeah.
It's in like computer font. And once again, it's assuring us that like what you're seeing is
real.
It's
real. Real as shit.
Really a Megaforce out there. And basically, this is a documentary filmed in real time. So pay attention and learn something about Megaforce here.
This is the most legit documentary since Highlander.
Was that Battle Truck recently we got that was also just like, hey, all this shit's real?
No, that was Blue Thunder.
Oh, right.
They were like, yo.
But there was a crawl in the battle truck, too, right?
These helicopters
telling us
real.
About the oil wars. We're getting a lot of crawls. This,
yeah. That one was also
like
had like the warbled voice, like,
yes, it was cool as hell.
In the future, the government is
I like when these movies are just giving me a nice paragraph at the beginning so that I don't have to sit through all this shit getting explained to me later on. But I guess Megaforce kind of went back on that because they re-explain everything about 40 or 50 times.
Yeah.
When they don't do that, it's a nice touch, the opening crawl.
Yeah.
Some funky sounding Waka Chicka Waka music over those opening title cards there.
Yep.
Weird, just black and white washed out images of like
that
tanks and stuff.
Couldn't tell what I was looking at,
wasn't
really.
Wasn't making out any of it. Pretty artsy. Yeah. Pretty artsy, the opening of Megaforce. I wasn't expecting to be so taken aback by the filmmaking so soon on.
Yeah, and filmed with IntroVision.
Yeah, they did say that, and I was like, oh, this is the first movie that used IntroVision, the famous thing that everybody knows about. Does that just mean having a bunch of shitty blue screen throughout your whole movie? Because that's what it seemed like to me.
Correct. This was like the first movie where like, hey, we just have a picture and the actors can walk in and out of it.
We're not going to bother to actually go to any, like, you know, places. Everything can be filmed inside a warehouse. We're not going to build any sets. Just everything can be fake. Enjoy.
Man, you said the budget was what? $20
million.
And if
they clearly saved a lot of money.
I mean, every scene that's not a big battle scene in the middle of a desert is just like in an empty warehouse room, I feel like.
Yeah.
They had to have spent all of their money.
On explosions.
A, on fucking Barry Bostwick's...
hair.
Stunt crotch.
Oh, well.
Yeah. B, just on blowing up cars out in the desert.
That's fair.
The first thing we see after these credits...
is nothing. It's too fucking dark.
It's a bunch of tanks blowing the shit out of a tiny little model.
Is that what it was?
So none of the money's going there. We would get the evil bad guy, I guess. He's got all his tanks lined up, and he's blowing up some building, which is clearly just like one of the little places where the puppets live on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Yeah. This whole fucking thing's built out of papier-mâché. Looks ridiculous. $10 and a trip to the local fucking craft store for this explosive opening.
Yep.
You gotta save it. Save it all for the big battle at the end. This is the fucking Megaforce way.
No, you need to know why Megaforce needs to be called in the first place, and that's bad hombres, Nate.
Yeah, fucking, so, Guerrera, what's his name?
Duke Guerrera.
He's vaguely ethnic. He's out there, and these are all made-up countries, but they all seem to be comprised of people with various different accents and backgrounds. Yeah. Like, the head of one's a British guy, and then, like, fucking Miss India is also... fucking there. I don't know who she is.
She's major something.
He's a general.
Major Guns.
Are they in charge? Are they in charge of this country?
Major Guns.
You talking about her tits?
Yeah.
I don't know. She doesn't really get her tits out in this movie.
You didn't see that black number she wore with the red scarf, huh?
I saw the black number with the red scarf. It was quite fetching.
It was titty town all over. Duke Guerrera's right-hand man speaks with like a weird accent that... goes between like Mexican and like German and Russian.
Rides around in like a World War II era motorcycle with a sidecar.
Well, he was being, you know, punished by Duke Guerrera in that scene. But in the first opening scene, he's like reading some weird poetry.
Okay, yeah. Something happens there. Jogging a loose Megaforce memory that I had repressed.
Duke Guerrera is finally just like, all right, can it, bro. I'm going to blow this place up. And then I was like, which one of these guys is the boss?
Mm-hmm. We learn later on it's Duke Guerrera, but it's much later on, because other than this opening scene where they're blowing up a nondescript building, we don't see him again until like the big final battle. Like, he just shows up and it's like one quick scene. It's like, oh, by the way, this is our bad guy. Now we're having a big battle with him.
Well, then they try to drive to the border in their tanks after they blow up the town.
There's going
to
be lots of talk about tanks and borders.
Because they're like, hey, we blew up that town. And then they're like, hey, British dude, let us cross your border. And he's like, okay, I'll let you do it. And then the Indian bird's like, bro, you can't do that. And he's like,
just no crossing borders. This is the real world out here.
And he's like, oh, but I was going
to have to get Megaforce
deliver
involved.
Him to the world president. And she's like, you just can't. And then he's like, all right, psych, bro, you can't cross the border.
So this guy's kind of just like... got his own private army, and he's just tooling around countries, blowing stuff up. Is that what I'm led to believe?
I guess.
Here in Megaforce, he's not like
the
leader of any sort of other... because it kind of says in the plot synopsis, like, blah, 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 the other, like, bad country next to this... And I'm like, I don't think any of these people run countries.
I don't think they ever really explain where the fuck they're at.
Oh, certainly not. It's just made up words.
It's just desert.
It's clearly just the Nevada desert.
They're in the desert. I mean, they reference a lot of other countries in this movie, but they never once like be like, this is the country we're in.
There's even like many, many maps we're looking at, but none of them real places or real things.
No. They're just heat-sensed mountain topography.
So after this old fucking boss from Knight Rider and bald chick from Star Trek are just out in this desert where everything takes place in this movie.
Right. They're like, well,
to meet Megaforce.
We got to get Megaforce. I don't know why.
They're just sitting on a rock in the middle of nowhere. I guess it's understood Megaforce will come to them. We do see some images of Megaforce like monitoring the situation. They got Seth Galifianakis working the switchboard over there at Megaforce headquarters. That's good. The guy they send out to actually do the meet and greet is old Michael Beck.
Yeah.
Playing fucking Tex Watson or whatever his fucking name is. Dallas.
Hey, everybody, my name's Dallas.
Is it possible to be racist against Texans? Is that a thing? Because
I think
his performance here is definitely racist.
Because he says nothing offensive at all in the movie.
Oh, I came away highly offended though.
But yeah, it's because he's got a big old Confederate flag.
Yeah,
like everybody's Megaforce uniform has like their country of origin flag.
His Megaforce uniform is a skull T-shirt.
Yeah, and then when he actually wears the uniform, he's got the stars and bars.
Mm-hmm. I did not notice that, but that's a great fucking touch.
Right,
fucking old Dixie, South's gonna rise again.
Yeah.
So Megaforce shows up.
Yeah, he does show up wearing a skull shirt.
On their awesome,
and a cowboy hat.
They're awesome motorcycles.
No. They show up in a fucking red, white, and blue Ford Bronco.
Well, yeah, Dallas does, but then he's like, let me take you to the real Megaforce.
Oh, okay.
I'm just the fucking guy here to take. And it's glorious.
I'm here with my educated Negro driver, Zach.
This is what Zach Taylor.
Yeah, Zach Taylor. Oh, Tim the Tool Man's oldest son.
Great character name there. I was loving that. I noticed too,
Zachary Ty Taylor.
Zach Taylor, other than Bostwick, who's the man in charge, seems to be the only other member of Megaforce who's allowed to unzip his Megaforce unitard a little bit so you can get like some of his chest
Who
hair
was
poking
it?
Out.
Who was allowed?
Zach Taylor was allowed.
Yeah,
he does it a few times. Everybody else is full on just like unitard zipped all the way up under the chin.
Or you got to have like something underneath it.
Yeah, so I'm like,
if it's open.
I wonder if Bostwick and him talked about this. Like, I think my character would let your character have the clout to unzip your thing a little bit, even though it's my thing.
He was like, hey, Barry, I don't want to zip
Seemed
mine
like
up.
Character choices there.
And Barry Bostwick was like, solid, my man.
But these people want to hire Megaforce, so Megaforce is rolling out the red carpet. And they're just
Are they hiring, or are they just like, we need your help?
There's a lot of talking
like,
about what's happening.
Megaforce, they're like a world police,
but nobody
aren't they?
Ever actually says anything. They're like, so, where do you get the money for all of your high-tech shit? And he's just like, every once in a while, a truck shows up and unloads stuff. And it's like, what? What are you talking about, Tex? Dallas?
Like, did you see that this movie heavily inspired Team America World Police?
I didn't see that, but I mean, looking at it, I can see, that probably makes sense.
So apparently,
picture those two fucking
South
Park idiots getting stoned and watching Megaforce a lot, probably when they were young.
Apparently, they're huge fans of this movie.
Yeah, sure.
Which makes sense, because like, if you take that and then you take
flying motorcycle,
there is the fighting
Team America World.
Yeah, they spoof it a couple times. Yeah, none of it makes sense. They're a force, a mega force.
Yeah, so he also explains, hey, we've got a leader. He's the only person with any sort of title. Nobody else has a rank in Megaforce. His name's fucking Ace Hunter, and here he comes over that ridge on his tricked out motorcycle with two guys that also have tricked out motorcycles. Oh, what the fuck? They're shooting a tons of rockets out of them, blowing up targets
just
everywhere.
Blowing up balloons.
We're in the middle of it. Fucking, we're shooting missiles at balloons. You're in the middle of it. Welcome to Megaforce, motherfucker.
Now, the one thing that is cool. One of the many things
that's cool.
One of the many things that's cool here is that you can see these rockets mounted to their bikes.
That's right.
And you get to see them really
shooting these rockets off the bike. For real. Which, since they're like fucking mounted to the handlebars, it means if you want to aim your rocket, you got to do
a wheelie first, bro.
Which is fucking badass. Just the more excuses to pop wheelies, I'm in.
Yeah. This movie,
one of the first things that's tan and brown in these movies, these motorcycles, they've got like, they're like khaki with like nice brown lightning bolts painted on the side of them. Everything in this movie, tan or brown. I guess we're in a desert setting. It makes sense, but that's not very exciting colors for the toys that I'm sure they wanted to sell fucking on. These things should have been like bright 80s colors is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
I think this would have been a big hit if you just paint those fuckers up, fucking Dayglo 80s crazy colors.
Oh, you can't say Dago.
No. There's a misunderstanding here.
Oh, I thought you just meant they were going to be wearing tracksuits and gold chains.
Not talking about those WAPs, my friend.
Oh, okay.
Let's move it forward.
How do, I'm not gonna.
Okay.
So
you just give me less things I have to cut out.
Maybe they were gonna. I'll say it then. Maybe they were gonna. No, I won't. In the sequel, it was supposed to take place in the rainforest.
This is another thing that, like...
So maybe that would have been the
vibrant
colors.
They're showing off all their shit to old man and brown girl, like little kids. Like, oh, check this out, check this out. We got this stuff and we got this stuff. Yeah. And Dallas does say, you think this is cool? You should see a building where we keep all our boats and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, Megaforce 2? Boats and stuff building? Sounds like a thing to me.
No, Megaforce 2, deeds not words.
Deeds. I wonder if it was going to be just deeds not words, or if it was going to be Megaforce 2, deeds not words.
That's a good question.
Because if they just were trying to bank it just on deeds not words, and like that having enough, just like
that's good. People are gonna love that.
People
movie.
Are gonna know it. Like that's gonna be the brand. That's gonna have
Mommy,
enough name
Daddy,
value.
Mommy, Daddy,
I
want to go see Deeds Not Words.
Oh,
what do you want for Christmas, Timmy?
I want deeds, not words, toys.
Back to the orphanage. We got a real fucking loser.
Yeah, just hold him underwater for a little bit. Make it look like one of them Whitney Houston accidents.
But yeah, the Ace Hunter does show up. Very impressive. They blow up all the targets with their rocket motorcycles.
Yeah.
Now, do you got these Ace Hunter facts or something to lay it out real? Who this Ace Hunter man all is? All right.
So the producers and stuff, they had an idea of what kind of character this was, right?
Uh-huh.
And then they weren't too sure. And then they went and saw Barry Bostwick on Broadway doing Pirates of
Penzance.
Okay. Yeah. And they were like, this is the guy.
Now, did he have his blonde beard for that show? Or
Here
were they
we go.
Like, he's good, but we need him to grow a gross, gross
Here
blonde beard?
Here we go. I'm glad you asked. He kept the beard he wore for Penzance to develop a particular look for this guy. That way, if I want to do other pictures, because he signed on to this movie as a 3-film deal.
Okay, they're gonna love me with the beard.
Yeah. So his logic here was, you know, that way if I want to do other pictures, I can just shave it off to look different.
Mm.
Anyway,
acting.
It's dead right for this character.
Oh, hell yeah.
We use high-technology weapons of the most advanced design, said Bostwick.
We put sun in our beards so the desert sun makes them lighten.
They're still on the drawing board, but they will be in use by the time the movie is out a year later.
In use? He's saying, like, real armies around the world are going to start using Megaforce tech?
He goes on. Bostwick claimed the Pentagon tried to stop the movie by withholding 40 army tanks needed for the bigger battle sequences.
Let Megaforce get out there.
Because the movie's strike force was very close to covert CIA strike forces still in existence.
CIA had covert dune buggy strike forces?
Yeah.
This is fucking news to me.
You know what's good about this film, Bostwick later reflected? It's plausible. We need an international force like this to keep the peace. I wouldn't mind betting that one day there's a real Megaforce operating somewhere in the world.
I think it turns out the Megaforce was inside our hearts the whole time.
So there you go. There's Barry Bostwick's headspace on that
Barry
character.
Barry Bostwick's just a fucking lunatic then.
Yeah. Right-wing lunatic.
There's just a whole series of notes here under the header. Bostwick is a turd.
Huh.
Ace Hunter's baby blue headband is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Well, duh. Satin.
99 times out of 100, blonde beards look really terrible. This is one of those times.
Mm-hmm.
Super cool. We get to see Barry Bostwick's dong in a spandex unitard.
Yep.
He hangs left. Like, there's... You just
no
know.
Tomorrow.
You don't got to worry about it.
Yeah. Set your watch to
at
it.
At some point, Bostwick's face looks like the sort of painted-up corpse that makes funeral goers say things like, they did a really good job with him.
Yeah.
Bostwick's narrow ass. Very well featured in this movie.
Yeah.
I feel like he should have done some squats if they're gonna make 99% of this movie just like frames of like him just like barely filling out a fucking spandex unitard.
You see, again, it's a shame. They should have done the sequel.
Give me some beef in this movie, man.
He would have seen his ass in this first one and been like,
Megaforce needs some
God,
beef.
Man, I need to hit the gym.
This is the era of beef on film right here.
Yeah.
Fucking this narrow-assed guy prancing around. I guess, yeah, he's saying he does stage. He's got to be a song and dance man, right? Yeah, he's probably get some singing in that stupid Rocky Horror bullshit.
Yeah, he's nominated for Tonys.
Everything he's doing here is just with, like, a dancer's flair, like all of his body language. None of it screams action hero. It's all just like flamboyance, like fucking all the little like skips and hops he does. A lot of like jazz hands going around.
Yeah. Bostwick. Yeah, his hair is just its own character.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Big old blonde poof going on. It's like a feathered bouffant. He's looking like the like fifth BG. I don't know how many BGs there are.
Yeah, he really does. Fucking, I thought that
the Lost Gibbs like brother as fucking action hero.
Just really loved that his logic was, I'm going to keep this bitchin' beard for this hard-ass character, and then I can do other movies in between I shave the beard.
This guy's a hot new actor, Barry Bostwick. His thing is that he always has a beard. Probably couldn't pull off a character who wasn't bearded. What the deuce?
Oh, man.
Have you seen this new thing he's in?
You see that?
He's acting not bearded.
Serious drama he's in where he doesn't have the beard? He looks a lot like that Ace Hunter, but he doesn't have a beard.
Great smile on this guy. He's just got the Joe Biden grin going 90% of this fucking movie.
Sure does.
A lot of hands on his hips posing, just striking a mean, lean silhouette.
You know, it was
this is the Barry Bostwick show, Megaforce here, basically.
Logical that they had him be a mayor in Spin City.
Is that what he was playing? The mayor?
Yeah, he's the mayor.
How much Spin City have you watched? I know that
a lot of
your wheelhouse is seeing a lot of episodes of terrible looking sitcoms that I wouldn't imagine anybody had ever watched.
I would say probably
seem like you're always on top of it.
Probably the full run of the Michael J. Fox.
Oh, you got
arc
to.
Of it. And then, at least
that was the last thing he did before he got taken down by the old shimmies and shakes, right?
Because he left that show because of the shimmy shimmy
mm-hmm.
And then that's when they got fucking Sheen to take it away.
I didn't remember that had happened.
Yeah,
nobody liked Spin City that much. Just shut the show down.
I like.
We don't need that much Spin City. The next 40 minutes of this movie is basically just a tour of the Megaforce playset.
Yeah, I don't really know what to talk about.
There's a lot of talking going on. Some romance starts brewing between
we should talk
Ace
about
Hunter
that.
And a bald chick from Star Trek.
We should talk about
we
that.
We need to talk about it. We need to talk about the skydiving scene in
let's
particular.
Just set up the picture real quick. I'm going to run through it. So old girl's like, oh, you got a great army Megaforce here. I'm going to be on the Megaforce too.
I took the whole tour. Now I want to join up.
And he's like, well.
First female Megaforce.
He's like, we do a lot of badass shit, and I don't know that you can. So they get her on a plane, and he's like, he's mansplaining.
I'm an army warrior. Like, put me through the tests. I will join Megaforce.
She's like, bro, I'm a major. Like, that means something.
Yeah,
And he's like, major guns.
In the
guns.
Country where I come from.
Major guns.
Yeah, and then he, like, in front of his chest did, like, the titties motion.
Boom, 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 boom.
That didn't happen. That's what you did earlier.
Yeah, it's true. That is what I did. So they're in the plane, and he's mansplaining how to skydive to her. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, bro, I've seen Point Break plenty of times. I think I'm good.
It has not come out and won't for, like, 15 years or whatever, but I've got Star Trek.
Yeah.
Powers. I see that it's coming.
Yeah.
I can see what's coming, and it's Point Break, and it's going to be awesome.
So she just.
Boom, out the plane.
She just fucking. She's like, are we going to jump or are we going to jerk each other off?
The skydiving scene is probably the second most romantic skydiving scene I've ever seen, other than Point Break.
Yeah, other than Bodhi and Johnny Utah.
Instantly, when they're out there in free fall, we get like this weird romance theme that starts playing over the score.
All right, so
like,
that.
Are they sexy skydiving?
That song right there, Old Boy.
Romance theme from Megaforce?
Old Boy wrote it. Yeah, and originally there was going to be words to it.
Oh, why weren't there words? That would have made this fucking weird ass scene even better.
Because Carly Simon turned him down last minute.
Oh, that fucking cunt. I always hated her face, and now I know why.
Exactly.
She screwed Megaforce.
She fucked Megaforce, man.
This is just an amazing scene where we're cutting back between, like, footage of real stunt skydivers to the two actors.
Introvision.
Clearly in front of a green screen. Like, I feel like they didn't even, like, put a box fan on these guys to even make it sort of simulate like they were free-falling through fucking air.
There's, like, one part of it where I felt like one of the persons was actually one of the stunt divers, and then the other person was like the intro vision.
That's the magic of intro vision.
I didn't know what I was looking at.
This looks so, even for 1982, so hilariously bad. The melodramatic romance music's playing. I guess they're trying to like make goo-goo eyes at each other and like convey that they're falling in love while falling through the air. It's good stuff. This is one of the most poorly made movie scenes I've seen in a long time.
Like, it's amazing because you watch, what, 10 years later, Point Break? What was that, 90 what?
Yeah, maybe 92? 92-ish, I'd say. Yeah,
either way, right. Not that far removed, right?
No.
Grand scope of things.
But as far as the filmmaking goes...
But I'm saying Point Break's got, like, they're doing all these big air diving stunts and people shooting
so
through
impressive.
Holes, and it's crazy and nuts. And the big move that they set up here is... I grab your ankle, uh-huh. You grab my ankle, and we spin in a circle, and then you awkwardly work behind me, and your face is in my man ass, yeah. And then you get to the other side, and then
we
hold the opposite ankles.
That's Megaforce's fucking, that's their move,
that's
man.
The
that's
move.
Their trademark
that's
move.
The
you gotta know how to do
move.
That if you're gonna be... So then after it's over, I'm like... So the
well,
test to join
now.
Megaforce is go skydiving? But then, no, there's one more scene where she has to, like, play a dune buggy video game.
Which looked awesome.
And I'm like, oh, so there's going to be more. Okay, I see. We're going to go through a whole gamut of things.
This is where she's wearing
but then,
that.
No, just the two things you have to do to join Megaforce is go skydiving and then play their dune buggy video game, which is set up, of course, in a big empty room in a warehouse, just like 90% of the things in this movie.
This is where she's wearing that sweet black number with
the
red scarf.
Low cut. She's got a red scarf just sort of blowing behind her.
It's
she's,
fucking Toddy Town right here,
she's,
pal.
She's putting it out there. Because at this point, she's just like, I don't know what I got to do to get an Ace Hunter's jumpsuit, but I'm going to do whatever it takes.
And so she's like, bro, I aced all your tests. Turns out I'm Megaforce. And he's like,
Well, British guy's like, you're doing so well, they're going to have to make you the head of Megaforce.
Yeah.
And then turns out, no. Yeah. Just, even though she passes everything, she doesn't get to join because she's a girl.
Yeah, he's like, no, he's like, hey, I got, you know, I'd love to have you here, but I got a bunch of dudes that have trained for, like, years
she's
for this.
Like, it's because I'm a girl, isn't it? And he's like, no, that's not the reason, but also the reason is because you're a girl.
Yeah. Right.
We're a bunch of dudes. It would be weird for a girl to be in Megaforce. It's going to ruin everything, Yoko.
And when he does this scene...
Girl can't be in Megaforce!
They're in front of this pink screen, and you can just see their silhouettes
black
against
silhouette
it.
Silhouette in front of, like, the pink screen of the Dune Buggy video game.
And
very
so
artful.
He's using his right hand to talk to her.
Just gorgeous.
And then he takes his left hand... And puts it weird and low by his crotch.
It just looks like a dong.
And he turns his left hand into a dick.
Looks like an Austin Powers bit where he's just making, like, shadow dongs. I noticed that, too.
Now, I read that when he was initially asked about it, Boswick was like, no, it's just happened that way. And then in, like, the early, I think it was, like, 2004, he came out and was like, yeah, old, what was the director's name?
That would be Hal Needham.
Yeah.
Hal Needham.
He's like, yeah, no, I totally made it look like I was hanging dong because Needham...
I was just razzing Needham.
No, he fleeced me for a bunch of money in a Ponzi scheme.
Oh, that's very interesting. And I wonder if that's also why that little kid was pointing at his dick at the end of Back to the Future 3. Maybe there was a similar thing going on where fucking Spielberg fleeced him in some sort of Ponzi scheme. He's like, I'm going to do some dick stuff to get revenge.
Spielberg always ripping off little kids for their money, man.
Could be. Fucking look
fuck
into it.
Fuck that guy. So, all right, she's not in there. What are we doing now?
They talk about the plan. It's basically their entire plan is, all right, fucking Guerrera's forces are out here. What we're going to do is our plan is we're going to go to where he is, and then he's going to see us, and then he's going to chase us.
Oh, Operation Hook, Line, and Sinker.
And they explain it like 10 or 12 times. And literally the entire plan is we're going to go there, he's going to see us, and then he's going to chase us.
Yeah.
To what end? I never wrapped my head around. Like, it seemed like that was maybe the first couple steps of the plan, and then you yada, yada, yada. Like, to what end? But they don't, I think, have a plan for what this is going to lead to. And over the course of the movie, it never leads to anything.
Not at all.
The movie just ends, and nobody's been defeated. This is a weird fucking movie.
Yeah. So they're like, well... time to start our master plan.
Yeah, and also while they're talking about this, they show like they've got some Megaforce casual gear too that's not just their brown spandex jumpsuits, and it's pretty cool. It looks like the shit that like second Cobra Commander wore when they put out
The blue
like the second Cobra Commander figure from fucking G.I. Joe, minus like the mirrored helmet, but instead with a baby blue ascot like under it.
That's nice.
I thought it was a cool outfit.
It looks really nice.
It's really cool. Then basically they go to do the plan, and like old chick from Star Trek and Bostwick just grin at each other like aliens for about 5 minutes as they're saying goodbye.
Yeah.
And she's like, seriously, I want to go join Megaforce. And he's like, seriously, I'm really not letting you fucking... Yeah. And I'm thinking like, well, this is going to come back to bite him in the ass. Like, he's going to be like, oh, Megaforce needs to get bailed out. And then she's going to show up and like prove like, ah, I got what it... But no, she just doesn't get to go on the mission, and then she never does anything again for the rest of this movie.
Right, but he kisses her.
He does kiss her after they grin at each other like space aliens trying to figure out how to make their human bodies work for a really long time.
Everybody else is on the plane ready to leave.
I can't think of two romantic leads who have less chemistry than this. I'm sure that's existed, but it's hard for me to come up with it.
Harrison Ford and old Drinks-A-Lot. And fucking Blade Runner.
Okay.
Sean.
Oh, old Drinks-A-Lot. I thought that was just a crack at Carrie Fisher, but then you went to Sean Young and Blade Runner.
Yeah. You know, that drunk. Okay, famous drunk.
No, not that famous drunk, the other one.
Ah,
that's true, but at least she is playing a robot in that movie.
Carrie Fisher?
Could be. Take your pick.
One of them's dead.
I mean, is Bostwick a gay man? This is sort of the elephant in the room as I'm watching this. Like,
you know, I've never heard either way.
Is he not conjuring up any fucking romantic chemistry here? Because he's clearly just a singing, dancing, prancing gay man. Like,
I have to kiss her on the mouth. Yucky.
That's what I'm picturing. Him and Needham just in a screaming match. Does there really need to be a kiss in this movie? Why don't I kiss Dallas?
He just talks like the Tick from the cartoon.
Because once old Guerrera shows up and these guys are grab-assing with each other, the chemistry is off the charts. Like, these two can't get fucking enough of each other, old Ace Hunter and Duke Guerrera.
Yeah, well, but not yet. Not yet.
We haven't gotten there.
Well, you can't gloss over the fact that he kisses old girl and then does, like, a jazz, like, West Side Story fire escape twirl around a pole onto the plane.
It's
and
exactly
then
what he
kisses
does.
His thumb and then points it thumbs up at her.
Very gif-able, this Megaforce thumb kiss and thumbs up.
Yeah. I did it on the way out the house tonight to the little lady. I'm incorporating it in my everyday life.
The two things I knew was the flying motorcycle and the thumb kiss. Like,
yeah.
Going into it, I was like, that's enough for me. Sold on Megaforce.
It left a mark. I'm already doing it.
It's a weird fucking moment. It's not a thing any human's ever done before, but he just does it like it's a typical way to say goodbye to people.
So we're on...
And yeah, there's no reason not to just keep doing it.
Yeah, we're on the plane now, on our way to the beginning of Operation Hook, Line, and Sinker.
This is when the screenwriter realizes, like, oh shit, if we're going to fight the bad guys, we should have introduced the bad guys. Let's do one quick scene where that happens.
But before they do that, there's 10 minutes of them just on the plane.
And it starts with... So let's go over the plan again. And I'm like screaming at the TV.
That.
No, your entire plan is you're going to go to where the bad guys are and then they're going to chase you.
And then they're like, oh shit, you know what we never got around to? Little character development.
Or introducing any of the other Megaforce people other than Ace and Tex.
Let's kind of go around the room for a little bit. Oh, he's good at Rubik's Cubes.
So this is basically like the first scene of Predator, which like...
Yes.
But like halfway through the movie.
Right.
Like Predator's like...
And way
hey, how
drawn
about
out?
We have a scene where we introduce our characters, be the first scene of the movie.
Right.
This movie's like, nah, we could do a lot of other stuff before that.
It's hilarious because, no joke, this scene was like at least 5 minutes, right?
It
felt like a lifetime.
At this point, it's just dragging and dragging.
Right. But this scene like really goes on a long time.
I mean, once again, I think because it's just in a dark room where they put up some red lights. So it's like very cheap to film. Let's pad out the movie in this empty room.
And it does nothing to establish these characters. And that Predator scene.
The two guys are like throwing a throwing knife back and forth at each other.
Right.
While doing a crossword puzzle. But like, it doesn't establish like, oh, this guy's the bookworm. And they're just two normal guys doing a crossword puzzle together.
That Predator scene lasts like a minute.
It's a masterclass.
And just has left an impression on my brain for
every
forever.
Character
I could
instantly.
Tell you every character's name and
tell
their
you
backstory.
Every pussy joke
right.
that Shane
Absolutely.
Black tells.
Yeah. But like, I couldn't tell you who's Sookie And who's six gun?
Sookie's the guy gunner. Who's got the Japanese flag.
He is
sewed to his shoulder there. That's the only way you can tell these guys apart is if every once in a while, like, oh, that guy's got an Italy flag sewn to him. Probably he's gonna try an Italian. Oh, nope, he didn't try one.
No, yeah, no, he didn't. So they finally. So they introduced the bad guys real quick.
Yeah, fucking old Guerrera's cheating at chess.
Yeah.
His second banana's just letting him do it. This is a real banana republic they're living in.
Yeah, I like what you did there.
There's no law. There's no truth. It's whatever Guerrera wants.
Yeah. He's like, hey, go get a bottle of booze while I cheat at chess.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, I'm, you know, vaguely
one
ethnic.
One thing that I was thinking while they were doing this, other than the cheating, of course, is like, this would be a nice, like, point in the movie for the bad guys to do something evil.
No.
So that I dislike them or know that they're bad guys.
He cheated but at chess. Just, what else do you want?
They're jovial. They're laughing. They're having. I'm thinking, like, these seem like pretty good guys. I'd hang out in this weird cave and drink with these guys.
Like,
what's the problem Megaforce has with these guys?
The way I watched it was a lot like in Casablanca, mm-hmm. where it's like, you get all the Nazis just hanging out.
That's right.
At Rick's place or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, well, they don't seem too bad, but I'm a little uneasy. Or like, are they going to do something bad?
I understand they're doing bad things in Europe, but this whole Africa setup seems pretty cool.
But then, like, the Nazis, you know, they start showing their true colors.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, like, I was expecting the same kind of thing here, and it was just like...
Right, like, ooh, they're giving us a three-dimensional
bad
guy.
Yeah, no, they're just chilling.
He's evil, but also he's a human.
There's no... They're going to... be Nazis at any
other point. Other than that opening scene where they blow up that papier-mâché model with their tanks, which is never even established what that is or why
could've
they're blowing
up. Could
have
just been target practice, desolate old town.
Was that just a ghost town they blew up?
Maybe
if
they
so,
built those buildings to practice
nothing
shooting.
Nothing evil happens in this entire fucking movie.
No.
The bad guys never do anything bad. I don't know why we're fighting them. There's a lot of arguing here in the middle where Ace Hunter doesn't seem to know why they're fighting
the
them.
The only thing I know... for sure that they did wrong,
mm-hmm.
was try to cross that border when they knew they weren't allowed.
A lot of talk about crossing a border.
That's the only thing I know they
did.
So
the plan is we're going to take us over to the bad guys. The bad guys are going to chase us, and then we're going to cross a border. That's the whole plan. But then later in the movie, it's like, there's a wrinkle in the plan. We can't cross the border, I think.
Well, hold on.
And
we'll
I think that's the entire story of this movie. Like, as far as story or plot goes, that's it.
I gotta eat. There's something over there. Can't get anywhere. Just down the road away. Anytime, any day. It's what's happening next. It's where best meets west. You gotta cross it, jump it, bust it, bump it. You gotta cross it, jump it, bust it.
I'm starved.
Make a run for the border.
So we get our biggest battle of the movie so far, where 5,000 vehicles come out of one airplane.
They've got laser cannons attached to the back of dune buggies. They drive them out of an airplane, they parachute down, and then they just start laser cannoning the shit out of Guerrera's entire fucking army. There's chaos. There's cars everywhere. We got those rocket bikes show up again.
Yeah.
They're rocket launching all the tanks.
It's roughly 700 pieces of vehicles come out of the plane.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because it just keeps looping.
Yeah, that's true.
And then they did have an impressive amount of vehicles, I will say.
For
like,
sure.
It's there. So they hit the ground and they're like, well, time to blow shit up. And they do.
And also, it's like, time for the countdown clock to appear on the screen of the movie you're watching.
Yeah.
And then for it to count down to from 3 minutes to zero. And then when it hits zero,
nothing.
It's just an arbitrary happens. Moment, nothing. And I'm like, is this supposed to be in the movie? Or is this a mistake on the print that I'm watching?
Oh, God.
And then I Googled it. And I think this is in every version of the movie.
Oh, yeah. No, that was totally...
The countdown clock in the corner of the screen that counts down to nothing during all of... What was that? Is there ever a line of dialogue that like talks about a countdown? Or
I can't tell you.
We need
what
to get
saw,
in and out
Nate.
In under 3 minutes if we don't X or Y
you
happens.
Can't expect me to write everything down that
there's
happens.
There's a lot of talking, but nobody ever says anything like that unless I was just really, really fucking going blank faced during these terrible dialogue scenes.
There's a scene where like a dude falls off a motorcycle and they go out of their way to show it.
Yeah.
And then they go out of their way to explain it, that like he didn't get hit. And they're like, nothing's wounded but his pride.
Right. There's a lot of this like A-Team G.I. Joe cartoon violence where like,
oh, no one dies.
The truck will blow up. But then like you have to see that like the person driving it jumps out of afterwards.
Yeah.
You're clearly making like a very, very like pointed. They're like, this is going to be for children. Children are going to love this. We need this to be able to play to children.
Right.
No real violence. This is going to be a toy line. It's going to launch a cartoon.
In New
Megaforce
Zealand?
Megaforce is going to be our ticket to fucking money.
In New Zealand and Australia,
mm-hmm.
this movie copped a G rating.
Yeah, rightly so, because there's literally nothing remotely, just like, there's not a drop of blood, not a single death.
No.
There's not even like really... There is machine guns, but like a lot of them is just cheesy laser cannons.
Yes.
Awesome laser cannons, sorry.
Awesome laser cannons.
At one point, a remote control car ramps over a little dirt hill and then suicide bombs another paper mache building during this battle, which looked really
that's
fucking cool.
That's, yeah, that's pretty cool. Was this the scene where, oh no, that was later. I'll get to that later. I don't want to spoil it, but yeah. So stuff blows up.
Yeah.
It all looks cool.
And then eventually it ends. And I don't know why. And then,
they're
like,
it's kind of done for now.
It's done for now. But then, like, the bad guys' forces and the good guys' forces are still just hanging around in this area.
Yeah.
Like, they just stopped fighting for a while and now they're just hanging around. And then they start literally hanging around because Duke Guerrera comes over to Megaforce headquarters. Instantly, him and Ace Hunter embrace.
Yeah.
And then they just hang out for like the next 20 minutes of the movie.
Right. So they're like, we're going to shoot the hell out of these guys and then we'll get them to like chase us all the way to the border where the Brits will be waiting. And then we'll give them the old 1-2.
Well, the one British man.
Well, yeah. We'll give them the old 1-2 once they get there. And that never happens.
No.
And they just have Guerrera's right hand man scouting them on a motorcycle
and a sidecar.
And what happens?
Seem to have erected some sort of desert mushroom that they're hanging out in. And then Guerrero's like, all right, I'm just going to go over there and talk to them.
They got one of those desert gas pumps like in Battle Truck.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It's and, very important if you're going to be terrassing around having arbitrary battles like every day that seemingly may never end because there's seemingly no objective to them.
That's where Native American...
Gonna need a lot of gas.
That's where Native American character... Six Gunner is waiting.
Is that where the two guys are like complaining, like, oh, we didn't even get to go shoot stuff. We're just here building this base or
and
whatever.
He's like, we were the heroes in the last mission, bro.
Yeah.
Little backstory.
Megaforce prequel. Yeah. When are we going to get that? Billy Six Guns or whatever.
So
I
Dallas.
See what he did last mission.
Everybody shows up and starts refueling, and Six Gunner, the Native American character, he's like, hey, Dallas, did you get any scalps? To which he says, no scalps on this mission, crazy horse.
I guess the point being there's some pretty good dialogue throughout this movie.
Yeah, oh yeah. The way people really talk to each other in 1982.
All of throughout. So yeah, fucking Guerrero shows up. Him and Ace Hunter are hanging out. They're hanging out with the British guy and the brown girl who hired Megaforce to go fight this guy. But nobody's fighting anymore.
No.
At no point does it even seem like one of them might pull out a gun and try to shoot the other one.
No.
Who they're now in a fucking guerrilla war against.
Right.
And I just, all my notes at this point are just like, I don't understand what's happening. Why is this happening? What's going on in this movie?
We should say, earlier on in the film, when like the British dude's like, we got to take down Guerrera, Ace Hunter's like, oh, you mean Duke Guerrera?
Yeah,
and
my
he's
best
like,
friend.
Oh, you knew him? He's like, yeah, we're buddies. Like, we were in fucking...
He stole my lighter. It's
commander
a fun
school
thing
together.
We go back and forth about. He's,
yeah, I was this close to getting him on our side. Well, what happened? This lighter.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, ooh.
So then, like, there's some talk here where, like, Guerrero's like, we used to be able to be idealistic in the 70s, Ace Hunter, but not the 80s anymore. And I'm like, oh, here's where we're going to get the backstory of like what the rift between these guys were, or like maybe what Guerrero wants or what he's trying to do. But it's not, because just that one line is the only explanation.
Right.
Literally just that one line.
So yeah, Duke Guerrero shows up and he's like, this is my best friend Ace Hunter. And Ace Hunter is like, yeah, this is my best friend Duke Guerrero.
And the romantic chemistry is off the charts.
Off the
charts. It goes from fucking bottom of the barrel, just fireworks. There's fireworks instantly when these two are on screen together.
I would have given to see these two just tumble through the air. Skydiving to fucking a Carly Simon sung tune.
You know there's cut scenes where that's going on. Mm-hmm. Fucking, they had to have at least done one take of that Carly Simon song.
Yeah.
Get it out there. So, I also, a lot of stuff at this point, I'm wondering what ethnicity Guerrero's supposed to be, what he's trying to play.
Bad guy.
He's got a swarthy beard, but like no accent. He's just very broad and like fun and laughing. And
he was in like a lot of like, some kind of Hispanic movies.
Yeah, but he's not playing it as being remotely Hispanic here. He's not like this guy.
No, he sounds whiter than
you and like
me.
Central American guerrilla warfare or anything going on
here.
No,
he's just like, hey, this is my buddy Duke, or this is my buddy Ace Hunter.
Ace's buddy from Kansas, essentially. And they're out like in the Middle East, like fighting wars against each other.
Who's to say? So, like, Ace is like, no, we're boys, it's cool, and we're going to go to the border.
We're boys from some army that I'm imagining was probably ran by some government at some point in our lives.
And Duke Guerrero is like, don't you see, you patsy, these idiots used you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I remember that happening.
And like, I don't
but
really
I'm like,
understand
used
how.
You to do what?
Yeah.
So then I'm like, oh, is it a flip-flop, and it turns out British guy and brown lady are the bad guys? And it seems like it is for like a second, but then it's not.
I think. I don't know. I guess like...
Because Ace Hunter and Megaforce keep fighting Guerrero after this.
I guess it was the double cross was like they wanted to go to war with Guerrero, but they couldn't just go to war. So they had to have Megaforce strike them to get them mad, to get them to try to cross the border illegally.
To lure them over the border so that they could have like an excuse to, we're not the ones that started this war.
We're just going
to
clean it up.
Okay.
I guess.
So then at this point, when this all comes out, that's kind of what I thought too, that I'm like, oh, so Ace should have been like, well, this isn't what Megaforce does, starting wars. We're fucking out of here.
Yeah.
But no, they just fight Guerrero again. And I'm like, well, why? You love each other.
Well, I guess...
Join your armies together and fight the British guy.
Because they left him stranded into wherever they dropped, which looks like exactly where they were in the beginning.
So this is the next plot point. Fucking Guerrero is just like, look,
they're
Ace.
Stranded?
I know how you're going to get out of here. You got a plane that's going to land in the empty lake. It's the only place you could do it. I've got my tanks there. My tanks are backed up to these mountains. The only way you could get here is through my fucking tanks. You're gonna die.
Yeah.
Because it's impossible to get over these mountains. There's only one way to go there. And then fucking the big twist is Ace is just like, well, we'll just drive over the impossible to traverse mountains and come up behind you.
Because Professor Egg found a map of the mountains and there's a trail.
There's not even like any scenes of like it looking like a treacherous drive or like it being hard for them to get over these mountains.
They don't even show mountains.
No, I don't. There's a couple hills.
Yeah. Sand hills.
I love how they just don't bother to explain that. Like, well, the way we're going to outsmart Guerrero is we're going to fucking go over these mountains. It's going to be fucking crazy. Like that fucking Werner Herzog movie. Probably we're going to lose half a Megaforce, but
like,
we'll do it.
They're like, no. Professor Egg found a convenient trail.
Oh, no, look, there's many trails through the mountains.
Just
I don't know what Guerrero's talking about.
Directly through.
Just ambush him from behind.
And that's what we're going to do.
So then the treacherous, like, coming from behind deep stakes climax of this movie is just... The good guys ambush the bad guys from behind and totally decimate them.
Right.
At no
point...
And
then shoot a bunch of colored smoke.
Does Guerrero do anything evil? At no point is he a threat. Like, at no point is anybody in any danger. There's no tension or stakes or weight the entirety of Megaforce.
If anything, he's just buddies with Ace Hunter. Is like, don't you see? This British bastard just used you, man.
Acting like they're not shooting live ammunition at each other, and this is all some sort of fun war game that they're gonna, like, have beers after.
Yeah. Again, he's the one that's like, hey, bro, these dudes used you.
Yeah.
So if anything, he's a good guy.
I I think so. Ace Hunter, certainly. The movie doesn't end with Ace Hunter killing him or anything, so I think Ace Hunter agrees. He's the good guy of the movie.
So they
We're
attack,
all good guys. This was all in good fun.
They attack the tanks. We get this awesome scene of Barry Boswick jumping over a tank on his motorcycle while slow-mo slam dunking a grenade into the tank.
Blows up the tank. Yeah, there's a lot of multicolored smoke coming off all the backs of the motorcycles.
Yeah, so that to distract them.
I distract them, question mark, is what I was going to say. Because, like, they're coming at them. It's not like they're behind them and they'd be like, oh, they've disappeared in their smoke trail. That just seems like a cool thing they do because it looks cool.
Well, they got past them and then they hit the
smoke. They did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because then now,
got past them in order to get to the dried out lake where their plane's going to be waiting.
There's
going to
be
them.
Two planes. One plane got shot.
So I guess the multicolored smoke did have this sort of purpose of a smoke screen.
Just
I think
cover
mostly
the other
it was
plane.
Just because it looked cool, though.
Well, yeah, definitely because it looked cool.
This looks like a scene out of like that new Mad Max where they get like
there's
a
like
lot of cars doing a lot of cool shit.
It's like if you make the theme of the Pride Parade, Mad Max Fury
there
Road.
Definitely a lot of
that's
pride,
what it looked
rainbow
like.
Shit going on there for sure. Also,
what are we doing
gay
for the
Pride Mad
parade?
Max Parade? Yeah. Is the coolest idea I've ever heard.
We're on to something here.
Who do we have to talk to get this shit going?
What's the theme for this year's Pride
Who's
Parade?
Who's the head of the gays?
Mad Max Fury Road.
How do I get their email address?
Yeah, we need to find out.
We got to figure this out.
I think Barry Boswick could get us in contact with somebody important.
I think so.
Somebody high ranking.
I think we could get in contact with Barry Boswick probably pretty easily.
Absolutely.
Probably high. That guy for a fucking bar mitzvah at this point.
You got it. So, yeah.
Yeah, so my notes about this last battle is just, there's no structure to what's happening here. People just keep driving. I don't even know where they're driving to. Why are the good guys and the bad guys so chummy? They're killing each other in huge numbers. They have to be, because they're blowing up all of their vehicles, even though we don't see anybody die.
Oh, we got a little nod to Chicago here. When the two planes...
Did one of them have a Chicago flag sewn onto his shoulder?
One of them was talking about beef sandwiches. The two planes are talking
about...
You
gotta order it dipped.
You get wet. You gotta get
you
that wet.
Wet. Tell them double dipped.
So they're talking about landing in the middle of the lake, and they're like, oh, that shouldn't be a problem. And the one guy goes, I thought it was tough landing at O'Hare.
Which is true. There's a lot of planes that come in and out of there.
Yeah.
It's a very busy
not
airport.
Wrong. It's one of the busiest.
It's a local joke they threw for us.
That's nice. I appreciate that. Ace goes down.
Yeah. Everybody gets on the plane and is able to fly away. All of Megaforce is saved except for Ace gets left behind. So it's like...
But he could just be with everybody if he wanted to.
But he doesn't.
Because he's got other plans.
Drives over to the tank.
He falls off his motorcycle. Doesn't get shot off. He just falls off his motorcycle.
There's a lot of people falling off motorcycles in this. And that very first scene where you see the motorcycles in slow-mo, one of them almost eats shit, and they just leave it in the movie.
You can only film it so many
times.
Cool.
I like it. It's sloppy. Yeah. It's dangerous.
Yeah. It's a tough world Megaforce lives in.
All they have to do is do one skydiving jump and then play a video game to get in here.
Yeah,
I mean, these guys aren't great.
It's not rocket science,
all these vehicles.
Man. So he like takes his motorcycle, rides back over to Guerrera's tank.
Literally taps on the door. Nobody's shooting at him while any of this happens.
Nope.
Nobody's trying to kill him. Even though their entire army has just been decimated by him and Megaforce.
And fucking Guerrera opens the tank lid and Boswick's like,
just like, hello, who is it?
Yeah.
Somebody's knocking on my tank door.
He literally answers it like that, like, oh, who could this be? And Ace Hunter says, the good guys always win, even if it's the 80s.
But he doesn't win anything.
No, he doesn't kill him. He doesn't shoot him. He just leaves.
Everybody's still where they were at the beginning of the movie, at the end of the movie. Might as well none of this should have even happened. Like, nothing is accomplished.
Yeah, no.
I guess Ace has got the right idea. You just declare victory like fucking George Bush.
Yeah.
It's like, victory's won. Megaforce did it again.
Yeah, somebody else will take care
of
this later.
We saved the day, even though no one was ever under any threat.
Bam. Yeah,
The problem is, though, that the plane is taken off.
Oh, no. How's he going to get on there?
Well, he's got his motorcycle, and his friends left him. at this point, I'd be worried like, oh, the bad guys are going to take him captive. But clearly he just comes and goes. Yeah. Both these sides come and go from their secret bases at will. So.
You can just Bugs Bunny the shit out of this.
Nobody getting thrown into any sort of jail here. But the good news is this movie has one last trick up its sleeve, Matt. The big moment
is this Professor X building to. 1-2 that he was talking about.
Turns out
that we've been leading up to.
We didn't know, but it's a flying motorcycle, man.
This is what he was talking about, the old 1-2.
It sprouts some cardboard wings. We get a cool scene where he pops a wheelie and then a little steam fart comes out of the back of it.
Oh!
Before you know it, we're full on opening credits of Pee Wee's Playhouse just on a flying bike.
It's boom. Boom, boom, boom.
Once again, they didn't as much as point a box fan at him to like make it seem like he's traveling at high speeds on a flying motorcycle. Like, he's clearly just in an empty room in a warehouse.
That fucking
terrible green screen behind him.
Pee-wee on the flying bike is cool. This is like straight up there gay with like Never-Ending Story, like pumping your fist on top of a dog dragon.
There's many, many reaction scenes to all of Megaforce being shocked that he has a flying motorcycle and delighted that he's flying. There's many scenes of Guerrera shocked and delighted that he's getting away on a floating motorcycle. He yells something like, yeah, ace, or whatever. And I'm like, you're literally cheering the good guy and you're the bad guy of this movie. What is this movie?
And like, it just keeps going on too long, like
keeps going and going. They're acting like this is like the big special effects thrill ride of the summer.
So like the part that keeps going on is Michael
cardboard
Beck's
cardboard motorcycle. Michael fucking green screen.
Michael Beck's Dallas character who's in the plane and he's like, "Come on, Beck, you can do it." Oh, and he's literally doing the Joe what's his face in Wet Hot American Summer. Where where what's his face has to get down the river or whatever. Ken Marino's character is like,
he's gonna narrate it here. What he's narrating is the fucking, he's not just catching up with the plane on his flying motorcycle. He's cheesing, he's grinning, and he's gonna show off. He's gonna give us a loop
to a barrel roll.
To let us know that he's just, this is all a great time. This is the climax of the movie.
Do a barrel roll.
And literally, I think they just like invert the screen to make it look like he's doing a loop to loop.
I'll try spinning. That's a good trick.
The most hilarious, terrible special effects I've ever seen. Bostwick's just cheesing to the fucking max. This is his moment to shine. He makes it into the back of the airplane, does one final like huzzah, little like twirl and jazz hands as he jumps off the bike. And then I think, the movie doesn't end right there because there's...
He gets, they get on the plane and then they're like, they're back over the border
that
now.
They couldn't cross, but now they can cross in an airplane for some reason. I don't know. And like, old British guy and brown chick are like giving a press conference.
Yeah, they got some like people there.
And then they fly by and Ace just like shoots a rocket.
They're like, hey, there's...
blows something up.
There's the helicopter that British guy loves.
He just blows up the guy's helicopter and like everybody's laughing about it. And I'm like, why'd you do that? Even like the British guy thinks that it's funny. And like brown girl's
funky.
Ace Hunter.
Yeah.
I'm like, who's on whose side in this movie? Yeah.
And then Ace Hunter's like, do you remember the name of that bar in London that I said I'd take you to?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I do. And he's like, well, I'll be calling you.
And then the movie ends on a freeze frame of him giving a thumbs up again.
Beep, 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 loo, doo, doo.
No better way for this movie to end than on a freeze frame.
But we get
of a thumbs up.
The hit song, Calling to You.
Okay, so what's crazy here is that this isn't just the song Megaforce.
Well, the name of it's Calling to You.
I thought the song was just called Megaforce.
No, they say cool Megaforce. They're like a Megaforce. It's written by one of the members of Journey.
Mm-hmm,
later went on to actually record it.
Fucking need to get this on vinyl.
Ace Frehley, when he went solo from Kiss, he did a version of it.
Of course he did. Why wouldn't you?
Because it's a badass
So this whole
rock and tune,
like a long song, and it plays over the end credits,
right,
where they once again just
show you the movie,
every single explosion or stunt that happens in the movie while this song plays. And this movie had no story.
No.
So all you have to do is watch the end credits.
Correct.
They show everything that's cool that happens again.
Yeah, I felt a little bamboozled.
Yeah, just why didn't anybody tell me? All you gotta do is watch the end credits.
It's got a badass song. They even keep a lot of the dialogue in there.
Uh-huh.
You can just watch that.
All the good like zingers, all the good one-liners.
Right.
And then that stops. And then the second half of the credits is they just play the skydiving romance scene again.
Right.
Which is an insane choice. They play it in its entirety again.
Correct.
Complete with the romantic music in the background.
Cutting edge technology. You gotta show that shit off.
And then when that's over, we get one last replay of him knocking on the bad guy's door. And given his, the good guys always win, even in the 80s.
Even in the 80s.
Which is, they were clearly so proud of that. Like, the whole movie builds up to this line, and it's a humdinger of a line.
Like, the
people
good
are going to be saying it for decades.
The good guys always win, even in the 80s, is like the kind of line that you write for like a cheesy movie that takes place like in the 80s.
Does this take place in the 80s?
No, I'm saying, but like, you know, like,
no, I'm not. That's just a question that's popping into my head right
that's
now.
That's fair. They don't
does
really
it?
Establish.
There's laser cannons. Those didn't exist in the 80s.
Well, as Barry Boswick told you in that interview.
Is this an alternate 80s?
The government's just knocking on the door of that technology.
Yeah. Which governments?
All of them. The New World Order.
All these things. So that's basically the entire story of the eight of this movie, is that one line where we could have been idealistic in the 70s, not in the 80s. And now he's like, no, you're wrong. The good guys still win in the 80s.
What this country needs.
What that means.
Is a New World Order.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
It's a lot of hidden truths in this movie.
Yeah, I guess
Nate.
you had to be there, I guess. If you were there in 1982, you're like, I get what he's saying.
If you
the
were,
70s and the 80s, they're different.
If you were in Megaforce,
and that's what this movie's about.
In 1982.
That's like my dream life.
I didn't even get to talk about
before
the fact,
cell phones ruined everything.
Didn't even
just
get
people
to,
being in Megaforce living their lives.
I didn't even get to talk about the fact that like this movie is clearly made to generate a toy line.
Yeah, it's they and were like, oh, we keep making these cartoons that are just like commercials for toys. Why can't we do it with a movie, too? It was a great idea.
The only thing they
execution
did
flawed
was lock down a Hot Wheels deal.
Oh, well.
They weren't even going to have an action figure.
I heard that all of the costuming in this movie was done by
Mattel. Yeah.
The toy company.
Yeah.
So why wasn't there Mattel toys?
No, Mattel owns Hot Wheels.
Okay.
So they had their cars.
But they designed all the costumes and then didn't make action figures? Come on, Mattel.
I mean,
these things would be going for on eBay right now.
Maybe. Shit. You can get the fucking, just the tank. Not even one of the cool Megaforce characters,
mm-hmm.
but just one of Guerrera's tanks.
They sold just, because those are just normal tanks.
Yeah. $100 on eBay,
Megaforce
man.
Branded normal toy tank, $100.
Yeah.
But do they have any of those dune buggies with laser cannons?
Oh, they got
what those.
What
do those
too.
Go for?
Oh. Well, more than
big
100,
money,
pal.
Big money.
They got the desert tiger
so
camo.
Cool. So fucking cool.
The coolest. You kidding me?
Tiger camo? I think it's just lightning bolts, Matt.
It was like,
it's just brown lightning bolts on everything. That's their
beige
theme.
Tiger camo. I don't know what it is, but yeah.
Your entire aesthetic is Bellic from Indiana Jones.
Well.
That's all that I have to say about it.
I don't think we need to do Judgment Day.
Right,
I think we've clearly judged it.
No, we got to do Judgment Day because we got to hear what the people out there. They might be able to change your mind, Matt. That's
I
the
refuse
whole point of it.
To believe that you found 5-star reviews of this film.
Oh, I found them.
Amazon.
I think on Amazon there is 63 reviews of Megaforce. It's kind of slim pickings out there, but I found some. We'll hear about them after this break. You've listened to some previews. Well, I don't know what we're going to do.
Pool hall, heavy speaking.
In baseball.
Springy.
Yeah.
You see McCoy today?
No, he ain't been in yet, have.
Try the Sheamus at home.
Take 1/5 gambler.
I got a buck.
1/5 hustler.
I get $75 a day. 3-day minimum, half in advance. It's $112.50.
85's all I have.
2/5 lover.
We could work the rest out on the pool table. And one-fifth private eye, and you've got Seamus. Try to take Seamus, and you've got one hell of a fight on your hands. Burt Reynolds is Seamus. And Seamus is a pro. He never misses. Well, hardly ever.
Calls himself Bandit One.
Now put the pedal to the metal. I'm 10-10 on the side.
Jerry Reed calls himself Bandit Two.
We're gonna really have to cook.
And Jackie Gleason as Sheriff Buford T. Justice calls them a whole lot worse.
I got a barbecue, y'all!
Burt Reynolds, Sally Field, Jerry Reed, and Jackie Gleason in Smokey and the Bandit. Rated PG, and that's a Big Ten for good, buddy.
So you were talking about how there's probably not too many five-bullet reviews for, Megaforce out
there. Yeah, it was
there.
A wild hunch.
Yeah, so the IMDb came through is the thing. Normally, I got a whole gamut of different sources for these reviews.
Yeah.
Not this week. We got four IMDb users with four very strong opinions on Megaforce. They fucking put it out there. These are the people that are doing the real work. And, you know, my hat's off to them. Let's get into this judgment day. I've got 2 1-bullet reviews. I've got 2 5-bullet reviews. We're going to listen to them. We're going to absorb them, and then we're going to let them, you know,
marinate,
do what they will.
Simmer.
See if they can sway our opinions.
Mm.
This first IMDb user is named Bershay. He gives a 1-bullet review. Mm. Bershay says, "A friend and I used to find the most potentially atrocious movies then playing so we could heckle it. Years before MST3K debuted.
Oh, I've checked out already.
Seeing the TV ads for Megaforce, we knew we found a winner. We went during the economy hour, of course. At the ticket window, I requested one adult ticket for Mega Bomb, and the lady grinned knowingly. Anyway, we were laughing to ourselves as the movie trundled along. After about an hour, we could only gawk at it. Utterly stupefied. We almost felt guilty about our actions, as if we were making fun of the mentally retarded. But then came that climactic scene where Gary Boswick's damaged super cycle miraculously recovers with the help of a blue screen. Gary Boswick's damaged super cycle miraculously recovers with the help of a blue screen that was too attractive to keep hidden. All guilty feelings were wiped away as the audience around us laughed along with us. Looking back on Megaforce over 20 years later, I can just imagine the cartoon character Johnny Bravo starring in an animated remake. That would earn at least a 7-star rating from me. 1 bullet from IMDb user Bershay.
Okay, I want to point out a couple things here. Take a little time right now.
Thought you might want to.
Let's start here. He's saying, like, we were Mystery Science
Before
Theater.
Mystery Science Theater.
Before Mystery Science Theater.
We were going to the fucking bad movies and yelling things out at the screen.
Mystery Science Theater started when?
The late 80s.
Late 80s. Well, he just said 20 years later, so that would be 2002.
Okay.
You gotta guess, this dude's at least 40.
He's in 1982. He was seeing Megaforce in theater
as a joke,
like not with parents because they wouldn't be letting you disrupt the theater.
He's got to be at least 20.
This is an old motherfucker.
He's got to be at least 20. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and say at least 20.
Okay.
He says 20 years later in his review, so that means
we're in our 40s.
He's 40 years old, trying to be like, "Hey, man, like I was before all that. Here's a great joke I wrote." Gary Boswick.
Can you imagine anybody just more insufferable than this man? All it took was these two paragraphs, and I was like, I would just the nerve of him insinuating that people in the theaters were laughing along at their comments and not completely annoyed with their presence in the theater. The fucking nerve of this man.
If there's one thing I know about making comments in theaters, it's that they will get mad at you all the time.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they inevitably do at me. Except for the time
that I said, oh, behave during the Love Guru, and everybody erupted in laughter.
That's a good one right there.
That's
keep them short, keep them simple. Yeah. If you're disrupting movie screenings, that's the rule.
Yeah.
This next person, not nearly as annoying as that one. I just put that out there just so we could rip on what a douchebag that dude was.
Fucking loser!
This next one is from IMDb user Dago, which is, again, not a slur against the Italians.
Hey, Nate. Hey, Nate.
Hey, Nate. It's spelled like Diego, but hey, with Nate. The E and the I. Fucking, hey, Nate. What is it?
How do four popped Italian tires go?
I don't know how.
Dago wop, 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 wop.
There we have it. Just more work for myself.
You can't bring it back around, friend.
One bullet review from Dago.
Say it again.
Okay, gang. For all of you who may have wondered, where did Bill Clinton come up with the idea of don't ask, don't tell? Well, this movie may have provided some insights. The cast in this movie is a collection of rejects from the TV series Knight Rider. Only a cameo appearance of David Hasselhoff could have made this dreadful movie any worse. The goofy clothes that the cast wore is truly awful. How did they expect the Village People to make their comeback concert tour when they stole their clothes? Also, the phrase special effects is perhaps used in the absolute loosest sense of the English language. Only the Lawrence Welk show is the only show that possessed less special effects than Megaforce. Yell that at a screen, that would have got some laughs. I suppose this movie is what was inspired homophobia in the military. The thought of a company commander wearing an ultra-tight, shiny silver jumpsuit, sheez. That would inspire Regan be able to remember all the details about Iran-Contra. One bullet from IMDb user Dago. I think he meant Reagan there in that last quip.
I didn't even hear it.
I think he was trying to... He did not mean Reagan. He meant Reagan.
Scoozy. Boobadabepa.
Oh, wow.
Boy, you know, I've always wanted to come in here. And now that I got a mustache, the timing feels right.
Wow, all this stuff looks pretty good. Can we get some salami and...
Brian, let me handle this. Scusi. Babadaboopy.
Che cosa?
Peter, what are you doing?
Speaking Italian. Babadaboopy. Babadaboopity babadababada.
Peter, you can't speak Italian just because you have a mustache.
Bobadibaba. Boba bibi boba baba bibi baba.
Tu sei un pazzo, va bene qui.
Bobi bibi baba.
Sono stanco di te, ti do un pugno alla testa. Uccido con questa carne.
Babadaboopy.
Let's move on to the 5 bullet reviews here. I'm going to need you to pay more attention here. This is serious stuff. We're trying to rate these movies.
I'm out.
This is a 5 bullet review from IMDb user M. Christie. M. Christie says, okay, talk about a kick in the pants. Okay. Barry Bostwick. As a superhero, quote unquote, this is too good. I'm not saying it's an Oscar winner, but what a cool set of special effects for 1982. Yes, it's hokey as hell, but that's what I love about it. All right. If you want an Academy Award winning, watch On Golden Pond or The Color Purple. But when I first saw this movie in the theater
Whoa.
In 1982, I left there wanting to put rockets and jets on my motorcycle. Heck, I was 11 years old. But what did I know? I knew I wanted to be Ace Hunter and play with all the really cool toys. Actually, I turned out a lot more like Egg. But hey, at least I get to play with some cool toys now. What? Seriously, though, this is a good versus evil, get the girl, save the day in the world, high-tech action flick. Anyone know where I can get it on DVD? I've got the VHS already. One bullet from IMDb user M. Christie.
That was weird. So, like, that guy works for the government making super vehicles?
Hey, he got pretty cheeky about all the cool toys he gets to play with. I think either bragging about being rich or maybe he's into butt plugs.
Huh.
Could be one or the other. Who's not
That's
weird?
Fine. We don't kink shame here.
This next reviewer.
We've said it before.
IMDb user Wooden Pickle, who also
Again, we don't kink shame.
A 5 bullet review.
Wooden Pickle.
Wooden Pickle, has to say.
Wooden Bappy?
You know, if they did a remake of this, they could do the effects better. But for a movie made in 1982, it was great. I was probably 12 when I saw it for the first time, and I loved it. It was like what all little boys dream of, having a motorcycle that shoots rockets and dune buggies with laser cannons. Sure, it's not Star Wars, but it wasn't trying to be. I liked it, and if you come into it expecting to see a fun movie with some cool toys in it, you'll be entertained. The characters are pretty cool. A special team created from the best guy of all the countries in the world. Then there's Egg. He's super cool. He creates all the cool machines and toys that the guys have to fight with. And the hologram projector is cool, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Think about it. They thought of all this cool stuff back in 1982? I think Dallas is maybe the coolest guy on the team, too. Especially when he gets there to pick up the general's daughter and shoots that snake. It's just a fun movie.
Ooh.
There's no real great story, but it was entertaining.
There isn't?
And the end credits show a couple scenes that weren't in the movie that are kind of fun, too.
No, it doesn't.
Check it out.
It was in there, pal.
You'll like it.
You should have looked a little closer.
5 bullets from IMDb user Wooden Pickle. Now that you've got all of your racism-induced giggles out, let's hear your final thoughts and your bullet rating on Megaforce, Matt.
Nate.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever hear the one about the...
Oh, here we go.
Italian, the Greek, and the Jew that died at the same time?
No. What happened to that Italian?
I'll tell you off air. It's a long one.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. It was unexpected, sir.
Caught me Megaforce?
At a vulnerable stage in my life. Yes, all of it. Megaforce. Megaforce, that's what we're talking about.
Wasn't expecting to take a Megaforce to the dome this weekend, but it happened.
It happened. Things happened in our lives this weekend, and we deserve to see this movie. I don't know. There's nothing to say here. This was a really, really bad movie.
Oh, I've got news for you. We've already recorded like over an hour and a half
I know,
on this movie.
Yeah.
So there's plenty to say, as it turns out.
This is a bad movie. It's goodish for bad reasons. I don't mean like goodish as in watchable, but I mean like I can think of worse things I've done, like watching Thunderbirds Argo.
It's got a few so bad it's good scenes.
Yeah.
A few.
It's just a 1.5 bullet movie.
1.5 bullets for Megaforce.
The end.
I'm going to go right there with you. I was thinking originally just doing a 1 bullet because I think it's just not a movie at all. But then I was like,
it's got a little
they came up
extra,
with cool vehicles. Mattel came up with fucking...
I get what they were trying to do.
Dong-hugging jumpsuits for them to wear. They fucking got their own song with the word Megaforce in it to play
Which
over the credits.
Which is a cool fucking
That's
song.
All cool stuff. That's good enough for 1.5 bullet. We'll just give this 1.5 bullets.
That's all it needs. There's worse things you could do, but this is pushing it.
Matt. We're moving out of the 80s coming forward.
Should we?
We're doing a lot of 80s stuff. We're moving away from tricked out super vehicles.
Well, I just don't know what this podcast is about anymore.
Too far away from vehicles. Hell, we've even got another Hal Needham coming up. Next month, it's all Burt Reynolds movies.
The Italian Job?
All February. I want a mustache, damn it. The masculine appeal of Burt Reynolds. We're doing a deep dive into the man's career. Get ready.
You just took
starts with Seamus
out of my lungs.
No, this is serious.
And
get
made
serious
me get
now.
Serious with that, you know, give me a mustache,
we need y'all
damn it.
To watch Seamus, we need you to get in a Burt Reynolds mindset and come back next week. That's what we need from you. Homework time.
He's Burt Reynolds. He created a fucking whole lifestyle that we all live.
That's right.
And get your shit together.
Not shaving our chests.
Because here it comes. Baby oil and blow. Stay single.
It's a long road when you're on your own, and it hurts when they tear your dreams apart. And every new town just seems to bring you down, trying to find peace of mind. Break your heart. It's a real war right outside your front door. I tell ya, out where they'll kill ya, you could use a friend.